But you see, there's many times that God begins to try to pour out the floods of encouragement that we dried up by resisting what God would have to pour out. And I just began to embrace it. And I said, Lord, I welcome it right now. God, I need it right now. And right now we need it. Right now we need it. In the day we're living in, we need that right now. We need to lift up and magnify God and say, Lord, I need you right now. God, I need your presence right now. I need to feel your presence right now, Lord. I need you to lift me up, God. I need you to push me forward, Lord. I don't want to grow still, God. Help me, Lord, to go on forward in your presence. I'm telling you, it was just a little bit of a boost I needed. And it makes me wonder how much of a value the church is unless I take advantage. When God's pouring out the floods of His Spirit, when He tries to put into the body, am I putting in? Am I drawing out of what He's pouring into? And 9 times out of 10, we can hold ourselves accountable and say, well, no, I'm not putting in like I should be. And we got to do more than that. And I just thank God for what He just gave me earlier in the week. I thank Him that I don't have to be in a place where I'm linked up and have to have somebody else right there to have that. God sends it down for those that are willing to hear, willing to receive that. And I just thank God that He's readily available for those that would reach out to Him. You can reach out to Him right now. Praise the Lord. You can have as much as you will if you draw nigh unto God. That would reach out to you this night. Enemies trying, oh, just to muffle out the voices and the cries of the children of God. And I'm telling you, if you reach out and cry out to God, His presence will pour out into you and fill you with a greater anointing, fill you with a greater voice, fill you with the encouragement that you needed all week long, needed all month long, need it all year long. Sometimes we're waiting for the signs, waiting for somebody to come by and say it, and God's right there pouring it out unto you, saying, just praise me, just praise me, just praise me. And we make that so hard. God's saying, just praise me, just praise me. You don't need a beat, you don't need a song. God's saying, just praise me, and He can pour something out into you. Praise the Lord. All the prophets of Baal, when you think about Elisha, one against 800 of them, the confidence that he had to pour the water upon the wood, the confidence that he had to believe in God. And we're not confident in our worship. We're not even confident enough to be able to throw water on the wood. We have to be in the ark of safety, of feeling the worship all around us before we'll even step out and obey God. I want to be able to go out in the cold places, be able to go where the water's on the wood and believe God for something greater than just a little bit of where it's dry. I exhort to you this night that God can move even where you feel like that it's cold if you're bold enough to believe it. That's Old Testament. That's all right. God's still the same. No matter what chapter that you read from, still the same. There's something about being able to recognize what that water meant on top of that wood. If you really think about how that it didn't matter about the water being on the wood. God can work through anything, no matter what man, no matter what science would say about anything. I'm ill in body and I cannot obey God because of what natural things would say. Do you believe God greater? If you poured water on wood, you wouldn't be able to believe that it would catch fire. But somebody at some point in time in God's Word was able to believe that. Somebody was able to believe that when they spoke it to Him to build an ark, they called Him crazy. But they did it anyway. I'm encouraging you to remember that the Spirit of God is always referenced in being representative to water. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, let's think a little deep now. Come on, stay with me. Come on. God can pour out His Spirit and bring the fire to move out anything else. It burned out the wood, burned out the water, burned out the ground, burned up the rocks. It burned out everything that was standing in the way. We're not even willing to believe anything. All the opposition in the world could be against you. All the eyes could be looking upon you, and the pressure you feel like might be on you. But if you believe in the one that you're serving, if you look up to God and believe it, He's able. I'm encouraging you to believe God, even when the world is up against you. How important that worship unlocks deeper things in your life. As you begin to break the ground in your flesh, God can pour out things in you that you never thought you were able to comprehend, that you were ever able to take in your life. I never thought I was able to have this kind of walk with God, but I came to Him and was willing to receive what He had to pour in. I was desperate and willing to receive. I needed something different. I needed something different than water on the wood. I can't do anything with wet wood. Church, we can't do anything with wet wood. Can't do anything with it. We got to have the fire of God. Got to have the fire of God in us. Got to have a desire burning in us to want to get up, want to put our flesh down. How many of us know that if we don't break the ground when we put those seeds out, as you read in the parable of the sower, they get burned up. Service after service will be useless. And I say useless lightly, because people won't be helped. People might be encouraged. They might be lifted up. But I'm talking about people being saved. Something being instilled in them that will make them grow. There's a difference in growth and temporary restoration. You see, growth will move you on forward from what you're dealing with. Temporary restoration is like a car wash. You're going to get dirty again. You got to wash it again. You're going to get dirty again. But let's talk about cleaning up what's on the inside. Planting something deep inside you. Praise God. I've just been excited all week long about what I've read. About what God's speaking in my heart. And I'm growing. Growing pains only count if you grow. Otherwise, they're just pains. It's just suffering. It's just moping and complaining. I don't want to receive the promise of God, as some did in the scriptures, and never make it to my promised land. Come on. I want to make it to where God wants me to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to make it to where God's wanting me to be. But I have to heed to what God's speaking. I've got to read in there and figure out what it is in me that's got to be different. And I've got to figure out the parts of me that need to die out. But listen, praising God and opening up and letting that just freely flow from you. As we've preached here before, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You just challenge God and just let the praises flow from you. Well, I need direction from God. I need something from God. I'm too busy worrying about what I need from Him to praise Him. I've heard that all before. And I need things from God too, but I can't get to the direction unless I'm being led. I can't get to where God's wanting me to be, to hear, unless I'm heeding to His voice. I've got to heed to the Spirit of God. I can't get to the Spirit of God unless I'm bringing in through my praises. I can't even enjoy the Word of God unless I'm bringing in the praises. If I'm sitting there in my flesh and somebody's preaching heaven down at 13th Street, it's not going to mean a hill of beans to me. How many of us know that? You'll ignore that just as much as I'm talking to you right now. There has to be a part of you that wants to hear it, a desire to worship, a desire to want to hear the Word of God. A desire. There's a desire in me to want to be here tonight. There's a desire in me to want to worship tonight. It's not a desire in me to want to do it when only 50 people show up. Not a desire in me to want to do it if everybody gets behind me and shouts. There's something in me that's alive. Something in me that makes me want to do it. Because it's not about what I get in the end. It's not not about the blessings in the end about it. No. It's about where we're at when it's all said and done.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Come on now.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All these objects that we work so hard for, people put conditions on God for monetary things.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Lord, I need my finances. God, I need you to get me a better house. God, I need you to restore my home. All those physical things in life we're basing God on.
Yeah.
And He said to seek Him first.
Yes.
We're not seeking Him first, or it would reflect in our worship. Yes. Do you understand? Yes. We're not seeking Him first and supporting the Word of God, or it would show up in the house of God. We're not seeking Him first when we obey God, or it would show up on our fruitfulness to others. It would show on you. Word of God says that the signs and wonders shall follow them. It will follow you. People will be coming after you for what you've got. They'll say, "Brother, please pray for me. Brother, will you take the time to visit me? Will you give me a word? Will you read to me what God's shown you?" Ooh, praise God. It'll be living in you. They'll see something and they'll want it. They'll want something from that. They follow Jesus. They follow Christ. When you hear about it and say, "I'll catch it on the next one," they follow Him.
Amen.
The woman with an issue of blood breaks through the crowd. And she wanted a change in her life. We won't press through nothing.
Amen.
We won't press past ourselves.
Come on.
Just to say, "Thank you, Lord."
Come on.
Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. We won't press past ourselves to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for being so good to me. Thank you, Lord, for being my Savior." Why am I so hard all the time? Because I'm always going to set the bar.
Amen.
So when other churches come, they go back to their church and say, "That church has got it going on."
Yeah. Amen.
I'm going to go back to
that.
Lift up the name of Christ.
Come on.
Like they lift up the name of Christ.
Come on,
I want them to see the signs and wonders in you.
Lord.
How great that you have it in your life.
Yes.
Ooh.
Amen.
It's what God placed in you was good. God made in this world was good. But you know what changes it? Christ. You know what makes services good? Christ. Not worshiping the song. Not worshiping the evangelist or the speaker. Praise God. But worshiping Christ. That's what makes your services great and grand. That's what reaches the people. That's what saves their souls. That's what gives them eternal life. Jesus Christ. Praise God. And if you refuse to praise Jesus Christ, then we're not serving the right master tonight. We got too consumed with everything going on this week to come in and worship Jesus Christ. Got too caught up in everything going on. Forgot all the blessings that He's done to come in and worship Jesus Christ. I'm too proud to worship Jesus Christ. Pharisees were a proud crowd too. Rich man was proud of all that he had inherited too. But the rich man lifted his eyes in hell also. We got to set a standard. That's what God's been speaking to me lately. We got to set a standard. We got to set a bar that says, "I'm coming into worship. I'm putting the enemy to flight every night. I won't be denied what God has in store for me. I won't be denied what God has in store for me." Determination is a very bold way of saying faith. Determination. There's a lot of people that were determined in the Bible. You read about it. A lot of people that were determined. You read about how David and how he slew Goliath.
Nobody gets in there and talks about what happened to all of Goliath's brothers also. They were all giants as well. And guess what they all went down to? Come on now. God's powerful enough to not only take care of one thing, but to move all of it. Come on now. Able to move all of it. I'm excited about what God's doing. And I know what God has in store later. But I'm going to move when God says, even if it's now. You got to remember that if you're not magnifying Christ. You know, when you're supporting somebody ministering the word of God, you're supporting Christ. Because that's Christ through them. When somebody's singing, tried to magnify Christ, that's Christ through them. Better be careful what you magnify. I love worship and I love worship music, and we try our best to make sure that it magnifies Christ. But if you go somewhere and it doesn't magnify Christ, be careful what you worship. Be careful what you listen to. We have to magnify Jesus Christ. Let's set the bar. That's our goal. That's why I push so hard. That's why I'm so hard. I want us to set the bar. I don't want anybody to say that we're dead and gone out just like the rest of them, but that we're going places, that people are getting help, that we've not given up, that we still believe that God's alive, and that it's not just religion, tradition, going through the motions. If I thought that it was going through the motions, how in the world am I going by through life with so much? If I go on, and I believe this through the fear of God in me, if I began to not magnify God and begin to not give Him glory and begin to draw back from His presence, I could not help but think that my life would begin to dwindle. At first it would go spiritually. This is going to speak to some of us because I know we've been there. It starts spiritually. Lose our desire to be there at church. Then we lose our desire to want to do anything at all. Lose our desire to want to be around anybody. Then we lose our desire to live. Take back what is yours through Jesus Christ. Don't take it back by my accord, not by your might or your works, but take it back through Jesus Christ. How do I do that? Just start by praising Him. He's been too good this week. He's been too good just this week. He's been too good. You read and I read every day, hear every day of so many things, so many lives that are just taken in an instant. And I'm thinking, Lord, surely You have us here for a purpose. God, surely You've kept me here for a time and a reason. God, surely You are not lingering and delaying Your coming for me to go through the motions. Come on. God has a purpose for us to be here tonight. And you might not see it, but if you have loved ones, you have a purpose to stand in the gap in prayer. You have a reason to stand in the gap by worship. You have a reason just for your own life's sake to get a hold of something that will bring you back to life. Praise God. Realize, recognize, like I said at the start, when He spoke to Adam and Eve, He said, who told you that you were naked? When He talked to Moses, He pretty much did the same thing to Moses when He was trying to make excuses. But Lord, I'm slow of speech. God, I'm not able to get up and worship like I used to. God, I'm not able to sing the songs like I used to. Lord, I just don't have the power that I used to. We need to get back a hold of it and hang on to it. It's a problem. We don't hang on to it long enough. We can't hang on to our income long enough. God couldn't lead us to hang on to anything. Come on now. You better be prepared to meet Jesus Christ. When I was crying on my way home meditating upon God, and He gave me that song, He was speaking to me to make me realize that I'm letting my life be drove by fear.
and not by faith. I'm letting my life be drove by fear and not by faith. I'm afraid of what would happen to people instead of believing God in faith of what He can do for people. I'm afraid of what could happen to my wife and her body instead of being faithful that God can move for her body. Come on now. That's me being real from one to another. I'm being fearful over finances, being fearful over work, when I should be faithful. Come on, everybody. I wouldn't speak this if I didn't feel like that God was sending it tonight. Why should we be fearful nor afraid when God is the one who's in control? When God is the one who is the keeper of your life. He brought us from the dust of the earth. And so shall we go back to the dust of the earth. And just as amazing as that was, when we think that we have to live life in fear, get out of fear. Don't let fear rule your life. Live by faith. Live by faith. Live by faith. Live by faith. If you say unto the mountain, be thou removed. When's the last time any of us spoke to the mountain? We don't speak to the mountain. We talk about the mountain. I promise I'm getting out of the way after this. We talk about the mountain instead of speaking to the mountain. Well, I don't know how I'm going to be able to make it. We're building it up higher. I don't know how. It's just so hard. It's just the worst thing in the world. I don't know how I'm going to be able to move past this affliction in my body. I don't know how I'm ever going to pay all of these bills. I don't know how I'm going to ever be able to get them to actually come in the church doors. The mountain's so high that we can't ever foresee anything. But nothing is impossible to God. Nothing is impossible to God. No man, no woman being saved is impossible to God. Praise the Lord. Nobody that is ill is impossible to be healed by God. Come on. No church service that we think is impossible to step into a spiritual experience is impossible to God. We're driven by faith, not by fear. We fight those flesh and blood powers, principalities. You realize how powerful your thoughts are? I'm not interested. You might as well just chained me up, sat me down, told me to be quiet. Is that what you want? You certainly don't want that, but if you're refusing to support your minister, you might as well do that. How many of us have handcuffs for me tonight? How many of us have handcuffs for anybody trying to obey God? If we're not moving to magnify Christ, that's what we're doing. That which is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Come on. Let's not bind each other up, but let's set each other free with confidence in each other. Let's set each other free with confidence in Jesus Christ.